PSBU member forum here in Las Vegas, and we have two fine folks in the studio lounge. Right next to me is Mary Pachuk from PSBU. Mary, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. It's been a great week, just energized and loving having everybody back together.
Yeah.
1,100 plus friends, it's been awesome.
A record-setting gathering.
It has been record-setting.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I think it just shows how anxious people are to get back to doing this.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we try in a box, it's much better.
I tend to agree with you. And let's introduce Mr. Brenton Peck here from Financial Health Network.
Yes.
I apologize.
That's okay.
They're all mixed up here. Brenton, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Mike.
You're welcome. Hey, you guys just got out of a session about financial... I have my handy dandy little book here, The Critical Role of Credit Unions as Financial Health Providers. This couldn't be a more timely topic than right now. So you guys are spot on with your timing here. So Brent, I'm going to start with you on this. So what is financial health and well-being? Because it can be a very broad umbrella here, but in your definition, what is it?
Sure, there are a few different terms floating around, right? Financial health, financial well-being, financial wellness, financial stability. I really don't care what people call this strategy. It's all about taking an outcomes-based approach and aligning member success with business success.
Yes, yes.
So we define financial health at the Financial Health Network when somebody's day-to-day financial system functions well, mm-hmm. so that they can be resilient when facing one of those inevitable and pesky financial shocks
that we all deal with. We've all been there. We're dealing with it right now, but we won't go into that.
Oh, I want to. as well as the ability to pursue your long-term opportunities.
Okay.
Dreams, goals, aspirations, however you define those.
Gotcha. Yeah, we're dealing with a lot of water on the kitchen floor, but that's a whole other story. That's for HGTV, so we'll do that. All right, hey, Mary, I'm going to come to you on this one. So why take on this project to measure financial health and credit union members?
So we partnered with the Financial Health Network and Members Development a couple years ago now, because we really wanted to get a baseline as to where Americans were, and in particular where credit union members mm-hmm, were mm-hmm. and credit union employees. Mm-hmm. So PSEU, we are a credit union owned payments technology QSO. We move money every day. We have the ability to intercede a little bit by putting nudges into products and services that may help consumers to a better outcome. Mm-hmm. So, but before we could start, we wanted to see where we were as a baseline. So we worked with the folks at the Financial Health Network in partnership with Members Development Company to just get a baseline to see where are we at.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can go from there in terms of products and services.
Okay, and Brandon, we can get your take on that as well.
I think that's right. You know, we often hear from credit union executives that the national numbers are great, but they're not our members. Right? Our members are financially healthy because we do right by the community.
Mm-hmm.
But you really can't manage to what you don't measure. So once you get that baseline measurement, then you can actually work to improve the aggregate totals as well as individual member financial health.
Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the high-level findings from this body of work that you guys discovered?
I think this body of work showed that credit unions really are serving the communities that they're meant to serve.
Mm-hmm.
The underlying issue is that most communities and most folks in the United States are not financially healthy. So what we found through this work, which included 4 live credit union examples, as well as a look back to 7 of our past clients in credit union land who did assessments, we found that over 60% of credit union members, regardless of geography, are struggling financially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard too. Yeah, they can't afford like a $400, you know, set a new tire, something happens with the tire or a refrigerator, something like that, they're kind of stuck.
Absolutely.
And it's very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So what has PSEU done to help improve financial health of its employees and credit union partners, having said all of this?
Right, so they have a great framework around borrow, plan, saving, and spending,
mm-hmm.
In terms of where you fall in kind of a spectrum of as an individual, what is healthy for you or not healthy. right? So what we wanted to do is start first with our employees. So before we could take a look at externally what we could do for the market, mm-hmm. it was really important to our leadership team at PSCU that we started with our staff. So we've taken a look at pay practices, we've upped our minimum wage, we've continually looked at pay practices, but we also realigned and reorged all of our benefits that go in towards saving, spending, borrowing, or planning. So whether that's the 401k, how to access it, that information, mm-hmm. we are constantly pitching, split your deposits, make sure your savings. What else are we doing? We have things like we use the quiz that helps employees to determine where they fall on that spectrum of mm-hmm. either financially coping, financially vulnerable, or are they financially healthy?
Yeah.
So that the employee would know where they stand as their own individual benchmark to get started. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of education around credit scores, where they come from, what they're used for, and I think that's been a big eye-opener mm-hmm. for employees. And I think, Mike, one of the biggest things we've done is we just keep the conversation going.
That's important.
Nobody likes to talk about politics, or do they, right? They were not supposed to talk about politics, but we do. So we're trying to really turn the conversation. Let's talk about money. Talk about your money story. So mm-hmm. what did you learn as a young kid sitting around the table? Were your parents spendthrifts, or were they just going,
yeah.
and, because you carry that through.
Of course.
And then you're going to give that to your, that's mm-hmm. the gift you're going to give to your mm-hmm. children one way or another. So those are some of the tactics that we've been doing internally, which is where we started.
I'm glad you brought up the conversation part of it, because this is something that I'm just taking from my personal experience coming up in the professional ranks. When I was younger, we never had these conversations with your employee, even your employer,
right.
and having these guides and these how-tos and things like that to manage your money so you're not, don't get stuck or don't get in trouble later on. So what is your take on all this education? Now, it seems to be a lot more information out there, and it's overtly out there,
right.
I think, now. So what is your take on that? Will we be better off? I'm hoping, knock on, well, that's not wood, but it's marble. Will we be better off in this because of the education that's out there now? Or
I think financial education is useful as a part of a financial health strategy. But in isolation, I could argue that financial education doesn't move the needle and change behavior. There is an overwhelming amount of information and education and literacy programs
yeah.
that are out
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to measure impact, change behavior, understand the business case for all of this, you can't look at it in a silo. So it's one thing to tell somebody, this is what your credit score is.
Mm-hmm.
It's another to help them improve it.
Right,
and
right,
I think we're finding
right.
more employers, banks, and credit unions mm-hmm. who are helping people do all the things that we know we should be doing with our money
mm-hmm.
in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We all know intuitively that we should spend less, save more, plan ahead for the future.
Right, right.
But doing those things is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So employers, like what Mary is doing, you're finding ways to nudge people along on that journey.
Right.
A component of it is the education piece.
Yeah.
But then it develops into product benefits,
mm-hmm,
things
mm-hmm.
of that nature.
Yeah, I think what I'm getting at, how do you get people to take action? Because like you said, Mary, it's like you grow up seeing your parents do good things with money or bad things with money, and it's kind of gets ingrained in you whether you like it or not. But how do you reverse the trend if it's
right.
bad, or how do you foster the trend if it's good? So how do you
we heard this morning about the power of storytelling too, right? So the more we can tell the story of how you're going to be better,
mm-hmm.
right? If you do some of those things, and working with folks where they are, you've got to meet them where they are. So the other piece of what we're doing externally for the marketplace is what can we embed into our products and services that would also nudge a member to a better outcome. I mean, there are things that happen behind the scenes today. When you pay your credit card bill, you can pay a minimum, or you can pay a maximum,
mm-hmm.
or somewhere
right,
in between.
Right.
At PSCU, when you go to that drop-down, it doesn't drop down and auto-populate to a minimum. It's making you think through what to pay. We don't want you to take the easy way out. We want to nudge you to a better outcome.
Right,
so that
right.
would be a very small example.
Right, and that better outcome turns out to be better in the long run.
Right.
So yeah, you're better off.
The other
sure.
thing we've been doing, Mike, is predictive analytics. And I don't know if
oh.
you've had a chance to learn a little bit about that, but we look at people's payment habits.
Mm-hmm.
And when something changes, we alert the credit unions that there's something that's changed in these people's payment behavior, that you might want to intercede with a very gentle message saying credit union is here for you no matter what.
Right.
So we're, now that we have the analytics capability and a big analytics capability at PSCU built, and we've looked at payments, let's look at other things that are happening. So let's look at the charges that are happening perhaps for their medical. So can the credit union intercede when they see that there's a spike in medical or drugstore charges or a spike in fees paid back to their health providers? What else can we be doing from a predictive basis that allows the credit union then to kind of intercede to help that member one-on-one?
Good point for sure. And Brenton, what innovations are you seeing that help improve people's financial health, kind of having said all of this?
What works? I will tell everybody now there's no silver bullet solution to solve the financial health challenges. But I can also tell you that there are more institutions, both traditional FIs and other, who are now in the business of financial health and making it a focal point. And a lot of it, credit unions have been able to do since inception, right? You've all been in the business of financial health and well-being since the beginning.
Right.
You just never called it that, right? So you're starting to see some new entrants in the space who are addressing specific pain points related to financial health. And I'll give Chime as just an easy, cheap example. But when they start to market that you can get your paycheck up to 2 days in advance, credit unions have been doing that for a while.
They've already been doing that.
The problem there is that for a lot of larger banks and financial institutions, they didn't capitalize on that value because they wanted to double dip on the spread, right? So you've got these new entrants who don't necessarily need that as part of their business model, who said this is a huge pain point for our members' financial health, and we're going to go ahead and solve for that. So I think however you want to slice it, you're going to find the competition is ever evolving. The idea of getting an account at the place of your typical behavior, whether that's a grocery store, a drugstore like Walgreens, or a retailer like Target, those are going to start to emerge. So when I think about credit unions and their ability to win, it's about taking that member-centric approach and engaging in the communities where you already are. Because in reality, you can do financial health and well-being better than the other guys.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like you said, they've already been doing that. You know, we need to get that message out there. For sure.
Right,
you know,
and they have established partnerships to work with, right, through their SEGs.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What recommendations do you have for credit unions early on in their financial health journey, Mary?
For me, I would say start at home, right? Start first with your own staff, because you have to clear that mark before you can go externally. Your own people need to feel like they're either, if they're not financially healthy, that you're working with them to get there so that they can then communicate the message out to the membership. So I would strongly encourage, take an audit of what they're doing today for both their staff and their members, because as Brenton mentioned, it's happening today. It may just not be packaged that way.
Brenton? Same
measure. Thing. Take a pulse of your own membership. Start with your employees, because you can't have a healthy membership without understanding the needs of your employees who can deliver on that message.
Good point.
And then go to the community. But it starts with measuring, because what gets measured gets managed. And the national numbers will tell you everything you need to know, but I can only get so far with that dialogue. So take your own pulse of your membership.
Okay, good message. All right. Well, I know you guys have a still have a busy schedule, and even though we're wrapping up the conference today, but yeah, thank you so much for your time. Anything else to add? Any final words of wisdom here, Brenton?
I'd say thoughts? You know, we touched on it, but keep an eye on the competitive landscape because it's ever changing, and keep financial health and well-being a focal point of your strategy. Start by measuring your employees, your members, and your community's financial health, because only then can you have wraparound services that matter.
Right. Good stuff. Mary?
I would say look to what else is happening in your community, for, especially for the credit unions, that they already have these established partnerships. There might be a way to embed each other together and make that much bigger of an impact.
And credit unions are always looking to differentiate, and that's a great place to do it. All right, guys, I'm going to let you get back at it. Thank you so much for your time today. Congrats on a successful session as well.
Thanks for
having us. And let's hope this keep this momentum going in the financial wellness area. I think it's a big need out there for right now.
So,
All right, guys.